Well, let us join together now in singing the hymn on our hymn sheet, "When My Life Work Is Ended and I Cross the Swelling Tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see." And we'll remain seated together as we sing. Let us bow together in prayer. Let us look to the Lord for our meeting tonight, that we might know the Lord's presence and the Lord's help. Let us pray. Our blessed Father, as we unite our hearts in prayer, we thank Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and our Saviour. How we thank thee tonight for glory, the glory that is yet to come. O God, we praise thee and bless thee, Father in heaven, that, Lord, we have something wonderful to look forward to. We thank thee, Lord, that every child of God, redeemed by thy precious blood, saved by thy grace, preserved in Christ, that each and every one of us, Lord, will be in glory. We thank thee for our Saviour tonight. We praise thee, O God, for the nail prints in his hands. We thank thee for Calvary. We thank thee for what he passed through, for what he endured, for sinful men, sinners such as we are. We were condemned, unclean. We were strangers to grace and to God. We were aliens and enemies. O God, we thank thee, Father. We are indeed debtors to grace and to God. We thank thee, Lord, that we have access unto the throne of grace tonight in our Saviour's gracious name. Lord, how wonderful it is that we can draw nigh unto our Heavenly Father, the one who is the King of glory. We thank thee, Lord, for thy throne. We praise thee, our Heavenly Father, that thine ear is ever open unto our cry. We ask of thee, our Heavenly Father, in prayer tonight, Lord, that you will draw near to us. Do help us to pray. Do help us call upon the name of the Lord. Enable us, Lord, to come boldly unto the throne of grace. O God, we lift up our hearts to thee. We are weak in and of ourselves, but we thank thee we come to one who is strong, one who is indeed the Almighty, the sovereign God, the one who is over all this earth, the one who is the God of the heavens and the earth. Undertake for us, Lord, tonight, we ask of thee. We thank thee for every mercy given to us today. We praise thee for thy hand upon us. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together in this way. And our gracious God, we pray that, Lord, you will meet with each and every one of us personally and individually tonight. May we be very conscious that God is among us, that God is here. You have promised, Lord, that where two or three are gathered in thy name, you have promised, Lord, to be in their midst. Oh, be in our midst, O gracious God, tonight we ask of thee. Meet with us. Lord, if there's someone in the meeting tonight with a burdened, heavy heart, some problem, some difficulty, Lord, we pray that thou wilt minister to them in a very special way and uplift them and encourage them and help them. Lord, we all need thy help. We all need thy touch upon us. Undertake for us tonight. We thank thee, Lord, we can say, O God, with confidence and with great assurance, we can say, Lord, tonight that our God lives, that the Lord liveth and reigns forever and forever. Be with us, our Father, tonight, and undertake for us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us read tonight a few verses from the book of Psalms, and we're reading from the Psalm 37. The Psalm 37. The Psalm 37 and the verse 1. Psalm 37 and the verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotted against the just, and gnashed upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. We'll end our reading there at the verse 16, and we trust the Lord will bless to us all tonight that reading from his own precious word. I want us to think just for a few moments tonight before we look to the Lord in prayer here upon the verse 4. The verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now this psalm, of course, was written by David, and he was well advanced in years when he penned this psalm under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit. We read here in this psalm in the verse 25, he says, I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So he's well advanced in years. But you know, the same anxieties and the same questions that perplexed many people back in his day are the same problems and the same difficulties that arise in the minds of so many people today. Thank God the word of the Lord is never out of date, but it's right up to date. And just as it dealt with the cares and problems and anxieties back in the days of the psalmist, so it meets our need today and gives us encouragement and help. Now you see what he says here in the verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. He's referring in this psalm here in many places, of course, to the prosperity of the wicked, the ungodly in this world. Why is it that they do so well and they prosper, it would seem, on every hand? And then you look at the people of God, God's people, and they very often are persecuted, and they're having to go through many trials and persecutions and so on like that. But the wicked, they have the upper hand. They're doing so well and prospering in this world. He mentions that in so many places here in the psalm. Note here again in the verse 35, he speaks of that. The verse 35, he says, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. He's referring, of course, to the ungodly, and they seem to go on. There's no setback very often. They're going on from strength to strength, prospering all the way. And we have it here again in the verse 14. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Not only are they prospering in this world, but there's great enmity and great hatred against the people of God, against the godly. And that's always been, of course, in this world of ours. And we have it again here in the verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Their day is coming, a day of judgment and a day of accountability. The psalmist here speaking about the trials of God's people. As I say, many questions that perplexed the people of God back then. And so we ask the same questions today. We wonder about the same things today. But here's the great thing, brethren. We are not to be cast down or fretful, as it were, or overawed when we look out upon this world and when we see how the ungodly, so very often everything seems to go so well for them. Now, the psalmist is not overawed by that. He's not downhearted. In fact, he's rejoicing here greatly in this psalm. He says here again in the psalm, he says, "Fret not thyself because of evil doers." Don't be down in the dumps. Don't be overawed by this matter. And again in the verse 9, "For evil doers," as we have read, "their day is coming, shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." They shall inherit the earth. And the verse 7, he says, "Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him." And again, he uses this word here, fret. "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Don't be overawed. And don't be overcome. Don't be fretful. Don't be cast down and depressed because of how the wicked seem to advance and do so well in this world. These things did not overcome the psalmist David. No, his looking to the Lord, his looking to the future. Now, there's just a few thoughts I want to leave with you tonight upon this matter. And the first thing is simply this. We are to keep our eye and our hearts fixed upon the future. And when we do so, this will bring us great delight. It will bring us great joy. We're not just living for the here and now. That's the way of the world. That's the way of the ungodly. Isn't it? We see that everywhere today. There's nothing new about that. They're living for the here and now. What shall we eat? And what shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? But whatever the Christian has to pass through, whatever our trials, whatever our difficulties, whatever our tribulations, and we're not, as we all know, we're not promised an easy passage in this world. We're going to have to face many a trial and many a difficulty. But you see, right throughout this psalm here, he says, yes, delight thyself in the Lord. And we can delight ourselves in the Lord and should delight ourselves in the Lord as we keep the future glory in view and what God has prepared and laid up for those that love him. He mentions it here. It's in the verse 9. Yes, evildoers shall be cut off, but they that wait upon the Lord, note the words, these tremendous words, shall inherit the earth. You see, there's a better day coming. When our Savior comes again, this world is going to be changed. They shall inherit the earth. And every Christian, the people of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, is going to share in this inheritance. He says it again in verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. We may not always here and now experience that abundance of peace. Yes, we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. But we all know tonight that we have to face trials, disappointments, difficulties, and everything else. But oh, praise God, there's a day coming, a day of abundance of peace. Note again in the verse 18, and we're just highlighting some of the verses here. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. I think these are glorious words right throughout Scripture. This word forever, or the word everlasting, or eternal, Oh, brethren, is this not something that ought to thrill our hearts and fill us with delight as we think of this? The world knows nothing about it, as I say. Everything is just temporary. Yes, just here for a few years. We hear it all the time, don't we? And undoubtedly, we were the same ourselves, living for the here and now. We might as well enjoy ourselves, have a good time. Life is going fleeting by so quickly. Life is so very brief. But the word forever, our eternity, our eternal, it's all foreign to the world and to the unsaved man and to the ungodly. He's speaking here, of course, with regards to the inheritance, our inheritance and inheriting the earth. Yes, he's looking forward to that time of glory when our Savior comes, when there'll be a great change, and when all the people of God and the Church of Jesus Christ will share with our Savior, and his enemies will become his footstool. But he's speaking, of course, here about our final and full salvation in all its fullness, in all its glory. Now, this is what awaits the people of God, every child of God. Delight thyself also in the Lord. You see, the psalmist is not going to be pulled down. He's not going to put his head down and say, oh, aren't our circumstances terrible? Look at the wicked out there. No, he's looking far beyond them, and he's looking to the future. And of course, the Lord's people, what a wonderful future we have. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul there, if we turn to him for a moment, there in Philippians, and in the chapter 1, and in the verse 21. What great words these are. For me, to live is Christ. Christ was all his life, you see. And we know the Apostle Paul had to face some awful trials, imprisonment, threatened with death, persecution and everything else. But what does he say? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die is gain. And he says in the verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. The Apostle Paul had a view of this, didn't he? Of eternity, of the glory that awaited him. And he repeats this in his epistle, of course, to the Philippians. It's repeated there at least three times and perhaps more. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, he says. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. So we keep this. We keep this before our eyes, as it were. We keep this firmly fixed in our heart. And this will bring us great delight as we think of what God has prepared for us. But not only that, but we delight in his very existence as well. You see, the psalmist here in this psalm, and of course it's right throughout Scripture, not just in this psalm. You see, all the prophets, the psalmist, New Testament writers, God is real to them. Brethren, tonight I asked myself the same question. Preachers can't afford to leave themselves out of these things at all, or anybody else. Is God real to us? His existence? Is he to you and to me the living and the true God? Alive, living God. Note what he says in the verse 18 here. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be. Again, we have this word forever. The living God, knowing all things, knowing our days here upon earth, knowing the length of our days, knowing us personally, we delight in the very existence of God. I often think of those words that we have there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. What great words they are. God is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Not someone in the past, but now, here and now, the living and glorious God. Oh, how we need our hearts firmly fixed on these things. We delight in his very existence. You see the world of unbelief? You think we're fools? You think we're mad? In this day and age, we're speaking about a living God. A God who exists now. Aye, and forever and forever. We can't comprehend it or fully take it in. But what delight that brings to us. And to the people of God. And this very thought alone should fill us with great praise and with great rejoicing each and every day. I often think, you know, I suppose we've all passed through this at one time or another. Times of perhaps when we're burdened with something, and it's usually in such a state that we wake up in the middle of the night. You can be sure that when you do so, these things are going to come crowding in upon you. The old burden. And I have discovered one thing. I have discovered in such a case not to look into ourselves. Or to think about ourselves. I remember the words of Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones. He says, refuse to think about yourself. Refuse to look into yourself. He says, always look out to God. Always look up to the Lord. So, brethren, in times of trial and when sleep would be taken, as it were, from your eyes and burdens would come crowding in upon you, think upon this. God is, and he's your God. He's your helper. He's your sustainer. Think upon him. That will bring us great delight. And that he is able to sustain us in our cares and in our burdens. And able to uphold us. He is our God. And we are his people. Look what it says in the verse 40 here of the psalm. The last verse. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Don't worry about the wicked, he's saying, or their prosperity, or how they seem to be doing. God is your help, and he is your strength. But there's something else we delight in as well. Doesn't the psalmist here speak clearly about God's dominion? We delight in his dominion. Oh, dear Christian tonight, listen. There's one who is in charge tonight. There's one who is in control, full control of all things in this world. He is the King of glory. He's on the throne. He rules over all. And listen, Matthew reminds us in his gospel, not even a sparrow can fall to the ground without him. Not even a sparrow. How many sparrows gather around your feeding table every day, your bird table? They come in flocks, don't they? And not even one can drop to the ground without God's permission. He knows. He knows. Oh, what a wonderful thing. If we turn back here just for a moment, and I'm just watching my time here now as well, but if we turn back there to the Psalm 9, in the verse 7, note these words. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. The Lord shall endure forever. His dominion is not going to pass away. Yes, kingdoms come and kingdoms go. But the kingdom of our God. There's a great verse there that I'm sure we're all familiar with. There in the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, and in the chapter, it's in the chapter 5 and the verse 21. Nebuchadnezzar, that old heathen king, he came to realize this. Daniel 5 and the verse 21, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew. Oh, it'd be wonderful if everybody came to know this in this world, came to this realization, till he knew that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. God rules in the kingdoms of men, all the governments. Yet God is sovereign. He's in charge of all. Or to use an old phrase, it is God who holds the reins. Some of you older folk there that have brought up on the farm, you remember years ago when perhaps maybe for the first time you started to use the horse and cart. And you were told, now make sure and hold on to them reins. Don't let the reins go. Maybe the horse was a young horse and wild and not easily controlled or contained. Hold on to the reins. Make sure you direct the animal right. Dear Christian, tonight God holds the reins. And his purpose, his plan will be fulfilled in the kingdoms of man. That ought to fill us with delight. No, it's not like a horse out of control when the reins is let go and the horse gets its head and it flies all over the place, runs all over the countryside, out of control. God holds the reins tonight. That ought to fill us with delight. You see, the world is in chaos. And as far as the ungodly man is concerned, there's nobody in charge. It's all fate, it's all luck and everything else, like the luck of the lottery. Delight thyself also in the Lord. That's a pleasant duty, isn't it? And it's followed by another pleasure here that he mentions in the psalm. What is it? He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Our God, brethren, is still a giving God. He gives. That's why we come in prayer and we ask, Bob, what do we expect? He gives. He gives. What a pleasant duty it is. That is, he gives the desires of the heart. It's a very intimate thing, very personal thing. It's speaking about our inmost desires. The very thing that will please God and glorify him, he will give. He will not withhold one good thing. He gives. May the Lord help us in our prayer meetings that we expect that as well. When we pray for loved ones, when we pray for revival, when we bring our burdens and cares to him, he's a giving God. He's not stinted. He's not mean. No, his heart is open wide toward his people. Hasn't he given himself to us? Isn't it a marvel? We who are like the small dust of the balance, he has given himself to us. Delight thyself also in the Lord. I often think, as I think upon this verse, and I have to ask myself the question, first and foremost, do I insult God? You say, now what do you mean by that? Do I insult God? Brethren, isn't there something wrong if we're not delighting in God? Isn't it? Couldn't we almost say it's an insult? His people, redeemed, in his hand, caring for us, loving us, watching over us. He has prepared a place, a mansion in glory for us, and we're not delighting in him? That's why I ask myself the question, I have done. How often do I insult the Almighty after all he has done? That's as if we said, well, it doesn't make any difference anyway. It's not that important, really. Delight thyself. I often think of that man, the book of Acts, when he was healed, a cripple from his youth. What happened? He went walking and leaping and praising God. walking and leaping and praising God. He was absolutely delighted. He was overflowing. He didn't care who was looking at him. He didn't care what anybody said. He was delighting in the Lord. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. And good to see everyone tonight. On behalf of the Reverend Porter, the session here, extend a word of warm welcome to everyone here to the prayer meeting. Let us bow in prayer.